Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Mary Martin, Victor Borga, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids and Hal, and Bing's distinguished visitors. Carol Landis, soon to be seen in the 20th Century Fox picture, It Happened in Flatbush. Young Virginia Widler, soon to be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, Once Upon a Thursday. And Rear Admiral I.C. Johnson of the United States Navy. And here's Bing Crosby.
Don't sit under that apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Don't sit under that apple tree with anyone else but me. Till I come marching home. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anybody else but me. Anybody else but me. Anybody else but me. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me. Till I come marching home. I just got word from a guy who heard from the guy next door to me. The girl he met just loves to pet and it fits you to a T. So don't sit under that apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching home.
Give out those lips of yours to anyone else but me.
Don't you dare to do it.
Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, watch the girls on the porch. Shall have to report to me.
Oh,
when you come marching home. Don't hold anyone on your knee. You better be true to me.
Yes, you better be.
Better be true to me. Better be true to me. No, no, don't hold anyone on your knee. You're getting the third degree. When you come marching home. You're on your own where there is no phone and I can't keep tab on you. Be fair to me, I'll guarantee this is one thing that I'll do. I won't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but you till you come marching home.
I told the gang, the whole shebang, that you were sweet and true. They ran right out and they came right back with a photograph of you.
So don't sit under that apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching.
This is Bing Crosby back in the old Kraft Music Hall, friends. And by friends, I mean everyone within earshot, not forgetting a powerful passel of soldiers, sailors, marines, and coast guardsmen to whom these monkey shines are short waves every week. How about this? Did you know that this hanky-panky is heard from Newfoundland to New Caledonia, from the Coral Sea to the North Sea? There's a lot of us in Australia, and faith, there's a lot of us in Ireland, too. Men from your hometown and my hometown, manning battle stations halfway around the world to protect our homes and our hometowns from carefully planned and completely ruthless violence and destruction. That's what men in uniform are doing. Certainly ought to be a soft touch for us to reach for our rolls every payday and peel off plenty for war bonds. No matter what else we're doing to help, and there's plenty to be done, the tall man in the high hat with the whiskers on his chin has got to get his 10% cut out of our weekly bundle. He's got to get it, because the faster we shower down for war bonds, the faster our representatives on land and sea are going to get what it takes to give what it takes. They'll fold up those finky-doodles and they'll hurry right on home.
Speaking of war bonds, Bing, since our boys have been all over the world, I guess the whole nation's taking to saving stamps.
War or postage?
Well, I've got a nice collection of both.
Well, have you? You're going in for philately now, huh? Maybe you ought to dig out my album. I have a rare old Everlast label alpha set of sweat socks that I'm saving. What kind of stamps are you specializing in? Perforated ones?
Mm-mm, granulated ones. Uh-huh. What I want to hear about, Bing, is that special train the Hollywood Caravan traveled in, don't
That's
you
too
hear?
Too loud.
Well, yes, but, you know, I just can't imagine a whole train full of actors.
What's so peculiar about a train full of actors?
Who listens?
Well, I tell you, Ken, Bob Hope was selling priorities on the porter's ear. Some of the boys had dictographs. Had to, you know, with Pat O'Brien aboard.
Get plenty of gab from old Patty.
Oh, plenty. Groucho Marx claims that Pat is the only man in the world that can put a benzodiazepine tablet to sleep.
Oh, it's awful nice to have you back in the hall, Bing.
Thank you, Mary.
While you were gone, on your whole trip, what was the one thing you missed most?
Golf balls.
Well, don't worry about your golf, Bing. According to the papers, even Hitler's having trouble with his golf this season.
What paper you been reading?
Well, every paper I pick up says Hitler's spring drive has turned into a putt.
I understand that every time Hitler hollers four, the Russians let him have five. Well, don't let the good news go to your head. Enough of Herr Schickelgruber. Mary sings now Three Little Sisters.
There were three little sisters, three little sisters, and each one only in her teens. One loved a soldier, one loved a sailor, and one loved a lad from the Marines. Oh, the three little sisters, they were the fairest, from Iceland to the Philippines. So said the soldier, so said the sailor, and so said the lad from the Marines. And when the boys marched away, the girls said they'd be true until the boys came back someday. Now the three little sisters, three little sisters, stay home and read their magazine. You can tell it to the soldier, tell it to the sailor, and tell it to the Marine. Three little brothers who tried to divide the world in half. One was named Adolf, one Hirohito, with Benito along for belly laugh. Oh, the three little brothers couldn't have had mothers, the thief that they tried to engineer. One schmear named Adolf, one Hirohito, with poor Benny bringing up the rear. On each problem they agreed. Behind each other's backs they drew. The world belongs to me. Now the three little brothers count future chickens while sitting on their mezzanine. You can tell it to the soldiers, tell it to the sailors, and brother, tell it to the Marines.
Great, Mary. With Virginia Weidler's new Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture called Once Upon a Thursday, it seems the most natural thing in the world to have her here in the Old Kraft Music Hall. You know, if the pole promoters ever got together to pick the all-American kid sister, V. Weidler's a pipe to cop to pottery. Fact is, I doubt if any Jasper arriving to cook up a breeze with his favorite flame would be surprised to find Virginia Weidler greeting him at the front door. Now, in an effort to visualize just what might result should this occur, we offer you a tender little interlude involving a Jasper, a Jane, and the kid sister, Virginia Weidler. I got a date with an angel. I'm going to lean on her doorbell. I got a date with an angel.
A greetings, Gate. She's got a date.
Yeah, I know. I'm the experiment. I'm Harvey.
Oh. Oh, you're that musician Maisie's expecting. I'm her sister, Virginia. I'll tell her you're here. Hey, ball of fire! Your male animal's drooling on the doorstep!
I'll be down in a minute. Keep him alive till I get there.
She says she'll be down in a flash in the flesh. She's busy putting on her face.
Virginia, there's a draft. Close the door and bring that young man inside before the neighbors get a look at him.
Yes, Father. Harvey, I'd like you to meet Father. Father, this is Maisie's new boyfriend, Harvey. He's a musician.
Musician, huh? Virginia, keep an eye on my new derby, will you? Mm-hmm.
Say, do you think Maisie will be down soon, hmm?
Can't tell. She keeps her boyfriends waiting so long the draft board meets in our dining room.
How's the food?
You better come in the living room. Want to read the funny?
Yeah, I give them up when Milton Caniff let Raven Sherman get killed in Terry and the Pirates.
Me too. I was disillusioned by the death of BB Eyes.
Gee, I wish Maisie looked like those babes Flash Gordon gets.
And I'll bet Maisie wishes you looked like Flash Gordon.
Yeah, she and me both.
Come on over and sit next to me.
Say, Virginia, while I'm waiting for Maisie, maybe you could give me an idea what she thinks about me, huh?
Any other guys besides me hanging around?
Well, she won't sit under the apple tree with just anybody.
How come she won't sit under the apple tree?
The last time she tried it, a worm fell down her neck.
I don't know what's taking Maisie so long.
Oh, she's up in her bedroom fixing herself up so when she comes down the stairs looking like $1 million, she'll say, "Why, Harvey, I wish you hadn't caught me so dishabilly. Are you terribly disappointed?"
Well, here she comes. Hello, Maisie.
"Why, Harvey, I wish you hadn't caught me so dishabilly. Are you terribly disappointed? See what I mean? I'm terribly sorry to have kept you waiting like this, Harvey."
Gee, men must really be scarce. I remember when you used to keep them waiting twice as long without apologizing.
Now, you know you shouldn't say things like that, Sugar.
Gosh, Maisie, it's nice to hear you call me Sugar.
I thought maybe you'd make yourself scarce.
Oh, you don't have to mind me. Go on. Go ahead and kiss him.
Virginia, I'm surprised at you. Do you know where girls go who kiss boys?
No more. The Army's in Griffith Park now.
Virginia, why don't you go to a movie and we'll stay home? You know, Dumbo is pretty good.
I thought you said you never kissed him. Well,
what would you like to do, Harvey? Go to a movie or go for a walk or sit on the front porch?
Oh, let's go for a walk first and then we'll sit on the front porch.
Gee, the kid's a spendthrift.
Hey, we can go for a ride if your dad will let us use the bicycle tonight, hmm?
Bicycle? The way you're dressed, I thought you were a hot shot with a cheap Jeep.
I'm sorry, Harvey. I have to catch the 8 o'clock news bulletin on the radio. Hmm. And then I think I'd better wait for the 8:30 one. And then there's that one at 9 o'clock. I think I'd better run in the other room right now and turn it on. I just don't want to miss anything.
You sure aren't doing so good, are you, Harv? Oh, but don't worry. Maisie's just all wrapped up in the war news.
So since she ain't wrapped up in me, how come I'm getting brushed here? Something private?
No, he's a sergeant.
Looks like I'll be spending the rest of the evening with you.
Sounds like an interesting social experiment. What would you like to do?
Oh, anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Can't you be a little more specific?
Well, I was counting on a night of good, clean fun and entertainment.
Count me in.
I was figuring on a June night with stuff and things in moonlight.
Count me out. I was counting on a date with you to take me jumping, jiving.
Oh, I can't handle that.
No?
I can't make. Count me out. For waltzing is my passion, to music that's old-fashioned. Oh, isn't that heavenly?
Uh-oh.
Love it.
Icky. Count me out. I'll take the rumba, I'll take the conga, wherever we roam.
I'll play Parcheesi or something easy.
I think I'll stay home.
Then I'd like to beat it out with you at 8 o'clock this evening.
Oh, count me in.
Though our ideas differ slightly, we'll get together nightly.
Count me in.
Are you coming?
Coming.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring? where my heart can go a-journeying over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane. And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as the will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as the will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
Now, that's Victor Borge over there noodling at the old 88. Victor's augmented our life and times with such nuances as phonetic punctuation in the upper language, and he continues to delve into our customs for further fields to conquer. With what results, Victor?
Sometimes good results, sometimes bad results, sometimes no result at all. For instance, shopping. In Denmark, first you go to one little store, and they don't have what you want. So you go to another little store, they don't have what you want either. Finally, you go to a third little store, and they don't have what you want. Over here, it's much easier. You save all that time of going from place to place by going to one big store, and they don't have it. But it's under one roof. And I found that there's nothing more confusing than to find my way around in a big American department store. I know this because last Christmas, when my uncle came to visit us, he brought me a present, a necktie. And the other day, I decided to take it back.
The other day? Christmas was 6 months ago.
I know, but my uncle just left. Anyway, when I got to the store, I asked the girl, how do I get to the men's department? She said, escalator. But I said, why should I ask her later? I want to go right away. So I took the elevator all by myself. When I got on, the man said, first floor, woman's coat. Second floor, woman's dresses. Third floor, woman's laundry. And I thought, woman's coats first, dresses second, laundry third. I could hardly wait for the fourth floor. And when we got there, oh, poor men's suit. I went up to a fellow and said, will you exchange this tie, please? And he said, do you have a slip? And I said, it's not a slip, it's a tie. He said, yes, but when you bought the tie, you also got a slip. I said, no, my wife got the slip, I got the tie. He said, I advise you to go to the exchange department anyway. So I asked him, what floor is the exchange department on? And he said, ask information. So I said, fine. What floor is the information on? He said, the same floor as the exchange department. A couple of hours later, I found information myself. I said to the woman, please, I have been in this store 3 hours and I can't find the exchange department. She said, why ask me? I've been here for 6 years and I still don't know where it is. Ask the floorwalker. But I didn't know who to ask. Everybody was walking on the floor. Then all of a sudden I saw a man with 4 children. So I asked him, because any man with 4 children must be a floorwalker.
Don't look at me.
No, I wouldn't, Bing. But I asked this fellow, do you know where the exchange department is? And he said, of course, I own the store. And then he walked away. So I went back in the elevator. This time it was so crowded that there wasn't even room for breathing. So we decided that while the even numbers breathe in, the odd numbers would breathe out. Except the elevator operator, he breathed up and down. At the 8th floor, I blew out. And was I lucky, it was right in the middle of the exchange department. I asked the young lady, please, would you exchange this tie for me? And she said, I'm sorry, ties are the only things we don't exchange. You will have to go to the tie department. Now I gave up. I would never find the tie department. I wouldn't even try. So on my way out, I noticed a man was following me. I found out he was a store detective, the famous store detective. And his job was to watch the store. Silly. Who's going to steal a big building? But suddenly I got a wonderful idea. I said, detective, you see this tie? I stole it. He said, I'm taking you right to the tie department. So I finally found it.
But kind of looks like everything turned out all right, huh?
Oh, no, Bing. This is where the dog came in.
Anyone we know?
No, it was the Great Dane.
Great Dane.
He must have heard me talking with a Danish accent. He ran after me and chased me all over the store. Through the furniture department, the perfume department, the coat department, and finally he caught me.
Where?
Right in the middle of the pants department.
A moment after dark, around the park, an old-fashioned gent comes parading, dressed in funny clothes, but singing as he goes, the lamplighter's serenade. The old boy loves to talk with couples on the walk, but when it's half after love time, he reaches for his sticks, and from his bag of tricks, he lights every star in the sky. And if a lady or a beau should answer no, he sprinkles their hearts with his magic. And then he steals away to sing another day the lamplighter's serenade. Boy loves to talk with couples on the walk, but when it's half after love time, he reaches for his sticks, and from his bag of tricks, he lights every star in the sky. And if a lady or a beau should answer no, he sprinkles their hearts with his magic. Then he steals away to sing another day the lamplighter's serenade.
Hello, Dr. Crosby. Am I glad you're back.
This is a cinch to be a bite, I think.
Oh, no.
It's like a bad move.
No, I need you, sir. I'm in terrible trouble.
What's got you gnawing on your lower lip, son?
Well, you see, I didn't get a sugar rationing book.
What do you need one for? You don't cook.
I don't. Well, what about my Saturday night fudge parties? You've been there.
Well, you can buy all the candy you want, Carp. Have a Wheaty binge or something. Change it around. Quit worrying about your sugar ration.
It's ration.
Oh, no, I'll lay plenty of cash. It's ration.
But I looked it up, sir, and it's ration.
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 Oh, very well, then. If you insist, in the future, we'll just take a brief pause for station identification.
Whether it's pronounced ration or ration, as long as Mr. Whiskers pronounces it necessary to victory, it's a sense that 135 million people will pronounce it okay. Among those are the group in the Old Craft Music Hall, Carol Landis, Rear Admiral I.C. Johnson, Ken Carpenter, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the music maids in Hal, Mary Martin, Lily from Laguna, and an unidentified loiterer. There used to be a gal named Lily.
Lily from Laguna.
She met a sailor boy named Willie.
And they sailed away on a schooner.
To catch a tuna.
Now all night long.
And most of the day.
You can hear a lucky little laddie say.
Oh, she's my lady love. My only queen. My baby dove. When I bring a ring around to Rose, it's a secret all Laguna knows. I know she loves me. I know she loves me.
How do you know?
Because she said so.
Mm.
She is my lily of Laguna, my only lily and my rose.
At the trolley stop, that's where I meet my lollipop. When he tips his little sailor hat, I can feel my heart go fitty-pat. I know he loves me. I know he loves me.
Well, how do you know?
Because he said so.
Did I say that?
And everybody in Laguna knows I'm his lily and his
rose. My chickadee.
Your dicky bird.
My bumblebee.
Oh, what fun beneath the silver birch.
A stealing kisses on the old back perch.
I know he loves me.
I know she loves me.
How do you know?
Well, didn't I say so?
You are my lily of Laguna.
My only lily.
Carol Landis, who's worked in the current smash hit My Gal Sal, is extremely 20th century foxy, really wins my sympathy. Seems like every time the picture people need a dame to sort of shuttle around in a dance hall or a drive-in, Carol Landis gets the call. And naturally, this doesn't give Carol much of a chance to spread out into the heavy emotional type of drama that we feel she's destined to do, which is why Carol's in the hall this evening. To make a long story short, I was browsing through a few of the literary classics the other evening. You know, some bound copies of The Racing Form and Unabridged World Almanac for 1906, when I happened to pick up Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights. Here, I said to myself, here is the type of thing that Carol Landis should be doing. And just reading Wuthering Heights made me too fall prey to the drama of those wild, windswept moors. In Fancy's Flight, I saw myself as, well, if not as Heathcliff of Wuthering Heights, at least as Bingcliff of Pacific Palisades. Yes, I saw myself on those ghostly hills in that lonely old deserted house on the windswept moors. And always I heard the voice of Carol Landis calling to me. Calling, calling.
Bingcliff.
Was you calling me?
I ain't calling Chloe.
What's cooking, good looking?
I'm frightened, Bingcliff. Terribly, terribly frightened. Such strange things are happening. Those weird sounds in the night. Listen, there's that terrible sound again. What is it?
Termites.
It's getting colder and colder in here, Bingcliff. Please throw another room on the fire.
Oh, we're clear down to the left wing now. You've got to learn to get used to the wind. Learn to ignore those sudden gusts of air that keep blowing up through the floorboards.
I can't, Bingcliff. Every time I walk over them, they blow my skirt up around my knees.
Works great, doesn't it? I got the idea the last time I was down at Coney Island.
Oh, if I can only get away from all this.
Well, why then can't I take you away? Why can't we get married?
I'm sorry, but we've discussed that question 1,000 times.
Yes, I know. Monotonous, isn't it?
There's even more to it than that.
Well, what's the real reason? I sense the difference between us, but what is it? You must tell me. What is the difference between us?
You've got pockets in your slacks.
Sometimes I think the reason you treat me so distantly is because I'm only an humble stable boy. You should pity me.
If I had your stables, I would.
You don't know what it is to work in a stable feeding horses.
Oh, yes, I do. Life with fodder.
Dahooey, dahooey.
If only I could be sure you loved me, and me alone. Last night, for example, you were off somewhere. Where did you go last night, Bingcliff?
I went over to Dover to visit my cousin Whitecliff. Big boy.
Don't lie to me, Bingcliff. Please don't lie to me. I have reason to believe you were with Mary, the housekeeper. Why must I always have trouble with housekeepers? The last one I had was familiar with policemen.
Oh, this one hates the sight of policemen.
Why?
Her daddy's a burglar.
Before I can believe you were not with Mary last night, I must question her. Please call her, Bingcliff.
And there they go! After grabbing the gate back, should have fallen back.
Did you ring, Mom?
Yes, Mary. I heard someone in the kitchen last night. Were you entertaining?
He seemed to be enjoying himself, Mom.
Well, perhaps you can explain how I happened to walk into the kitchen last night and find you were kissing Bingcliff.
Well, your new shoes don't squeak like your old ones did.
You realize what this means, Bingcliff? It means that now I shall be forced to marry my distant cousin, Pierre Carpentier. Someone is at the door.
Uh-huh, it is you, my little cousin.
What are you hustling, camphor balls? Who are you?
I am Pierre Carpentier. I am one of Mademoiselle Glossier's friends. I am Mademoiselle's cousin.
What's Bazine cousin?
I got P-38 tonsils. I have come to make marriage with the Mademoiselle if she has a dowry.
I have only the heather of the moors, the daffodils in the hills, the laurel in the fields, and the lilies of the valley.
A flowery dowry.
And I am ready to accept you, Pierre, even though you have come COD.
COD? What's that?
Counting on dowry.
Well, without dowry, I'm back on the Bowery.
Well, there is nothing for Mary and me to do but leave. You and Pierre will have this house all to yourselves, and Mary and I shall never, never set foot under this roof again.
Neither will we. The wind blew the roof away.
Ah, this is terrible, terrible. We cannot leave here without the roof. What shall we do?
Call Leon Henderson at once.
Leon Henderson for a new roof. He will not be able to help us.
Why not? He puts a ceiling on everything else.
Thank you, Carol Landis. Thank you very much. Drop in again next time you're in the neighborhood, huh?
Time marches back. 1929, 62 nations sign Kellogg-Briand anti-war pact, and United States Marines establish martial law in Haiti. 1929, Franklin Delano Roosevelt becomes governor of New York, and Herbert Hoover president of these United States. 1929, on Wall Street, stocks soar to dangerous heights, as many a thinking man is heard to say.
Well, Mary, guess I'll duck down to the corner and shoot a few rounds of golf.
Honestly, Harry, ever since they opened that miniature golf course, you think you're Bobby Jones.
He's a good boy, good boy. Then playing the kind of golf he plays, that doesn't require any precision.
What do you mean, precision?
Well, you take the kind of golf Bobby Jones plays, if he goes a little off the fairway, so what? He's in the rough.
Well?
Well, down at the Pee Wee Links, if I go a little off the course, I'm in Blavel's butcher shop.
Well, if you happen to go off the course tomorrow evening, would you pick up 2 lamb chops?
Oh, baloney.
All right, get whatever you like. Say, Harry, not to change the subject, but it says here in the paper that the Prince of Wales sold his 12 hunting horses at auction.
Yeah, I guess he got tired falling off of them, huh?
Just the same, it seems awful funny to me he should sell them. If you had 12 wonderful horses, would you sell them?
What's the use of asking me what I'd do with 12 wonderful horses? How should I know?
Well, you needn't sound so hurt about it. I was just making conversation, that's all.
Yeah, I saw one of those new small dollar bills today. Look like cigar coupons, don't they?
Wish you'd save them the way you save cigar coupons.
Wonder why the government cut down the size of the skins.
You know, a woman in Blauvelt's market this morning told me it was because everyone was making so much money on paper. The government just had to use less of it.
What are you talking about? Everybody's making so much money on paper.
Well, he's in Wall Street. You know, Everybody who has any stock is making money on paper.
Uh-huh.
Why, everybody we know keeps bragging about his paper profits.
Doesn't mean they're making money on paper. That means the money they're making is only on paper.
Oh. What?
Well, I'll explain it. Now, look here. You buy some stock, and the stock goes up, and you sell it. You make a profit. But if you don't sell it, you still have a paper profit.
Oh. Well, what have you got the stock on you bought last week? A profit or a paper profit?
I got a loss.
Everybody in the market's buying stocks that go up. Why do you always have to be different?
Try to explain financial complications to a woman. What chance you think?
Well, you didn't try to explain financial complications to me before we were married.
Before we were married, I didn't have any financial complications.
Harry, what is it that makes you so romantic?
Well, we can't all be Maurice Chevalier, you know.
You might try a little harder. Gee, Maurice Chevalier. Dream lover, put your arms around me. Dream lover, your romance has found me.
Well, if it's that French stuff you like, get a load of this. What's Chevalier got that I ain't got? There's danger in your eyes, Cherie, but I don't care. I'd give up paradise, Cherie, your love to share.
Honestly, Harry?
Honestly what?
Nothing. Nothing.
You know, a song I like is that, keep your sunny side up, up, hide the side that gets blue.
Somehow I never know quite what that means.
Well, it means sort of,
Oh, never mind. Yeah. Here's a song I like. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. Isn't that a wonderful tune?
Yeah, got a good chance. Firm gets behind it. When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout. There's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you. Some early morn, you will hear his horn. It's not far away. Hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day. When skies were dark, came Noah's Ark. Amen. When lions roared, came Daniel's Lord. Amen. Lord helps those who pray, and on Judgment Day, if you believe, he shall receive you, amen.
When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day.
Gabriel will warn you some early morn. You will hear his horn. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
it's not far away. Hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day.
Tomorrow being Maritime Day, why, we just had to go out and get ourselves an admiral. No Johnny come lately in our hard-hitting Navy either. Rear Admiral I.C. Johnson has gandered all parts of this old apple through a porthole since he was graduated from the Naval Academy with the class of '04. As Ensign Johnson, he made his first trip around the world when Teddy Roosevelt sent the Great White Fleet on a goodwill mission. He followed this by commanding a battalion of bluejackets at Veracruz and a division of destroyers during World War the Lesser. It was Lieutenant Commander Johnson who was in charge of President Wilson's landing in France when the President attended the peace treaty at Versailles. Between wars, Captain Johnson commanded a division of destroyers, was executive officer of the USS Oklahoma, commander of a division of submarines, and then skipper of the USS Salt Lake City. Between tours of sea duty, he held several administrative positions, including that of naval attaché to Ambassadors Forbes and Grew in Tokyo from 1930 to 1933. That certainly ought to make you our man, sir. Because without divulging any Navy secrets, Admiral Johnson, you could probably tell us something important about the Battle of the Coral Sea.
Certainly, Bing. The most important thing about that battle was we won.
Yeah, but what do you think happened to the Japanese fleet?
It wasn't fleet enough.
Obviously, your 3 years with the diplomats in Japan was not an accident, Admiral. From what you saw and heard of Hirohito at that time, would you have guessed that he'd click with a guy like Hitler?
Military heels are bound to click.
Let me try, Bing. Getting information out of a sailor is a woman's work. Isn't it, Admiral?
That remains to be seen, Mary.
Well, I was just wondering. I heard Bing say that you'd commanded a division of destroyers during the last war. Are the destroyers any better now?
They were pretty good then.
Well, I heard they rolled a lot.
So did the sailors.
The way I got it, Admiral, those World War destroyers rolled so bad that if a gob got in a dice game, he had to throw a seven the hard way. Put the three up in the galley and the four in the wardroom and the gob wound up in the brig.
There's just one thing more I'd like to know.
What have you found out so far?
I found out the meaning of that phrase, serve in silence.
And what's the other thing you'd like to know?
Well, this is kind of confidential. Just between you and me, Admiral. Which man here in the Kraft Music Hall do you think would make the best sailor?
Bing. Bing's the only man here who could scrub a deck at a moment's notice without changing his clothes.
That's faint praise, sir, but welcome.
Not all, Bing. I admire your clothes.
Are you kidding?
I think it's the first time in my life I've ever seen a custom-tailored dungarees.
Do they look custom-tailored to you? I always thought he made them himself.
Well, just sort of bypassing my wardrobe for a minute, sir. As Director of Naval Office Procurement of the 11th Naval District, how's the officer situation shaping up?
As the Navy grows, Bing, we'll continue to need more and more officers.
Speaking of the Navy's growth, Admiral Johnson, do you think the Navy will ever grow so large you'll have to ration the boys?
What do you mean, ration the boys?
Well, let them have a sweetheart in only every other port.
That's one of those problems we can't meet until it arrives.
How's the Navy going about filling its need for new officers, Admiral?
The way any growing business goes about getting executive material, Bing, from the colleges and from among the top men in the various professions, businesses, and trades.
Well, what do those men know about running a battleship?
Well, there's a great deal of administrative work the Navy has to do that's extremely remote from running battleships. And every specialist we can put at a desk job on shore releases an experienced naval officer for combat duty and for the job of training the young officers we're getting through the V-7 plan.
Would you care to explain the V-7 plan, Admiral?
We should start with the V-1 plan first. Mm-hmm. A man entering college may enlist in the V-1. At the end of his sophomore year, he has a choice of V-5 or V-7. If V-5, he is sent to the Naval Aviation Base for flight training. If V-7, he finishes 4 years of college. Both classes lead to commissions. V-5 is an aviator, and V-7 is a deck or engineering officer. V-1 also enables a high school boy to continue his education. Those interested in V-1 or V-7 should inquire at the Naval Recruiting Station, and for V-5, the Naval Aviation Cadet Selection Board.
I see. Well, that takes care of V-1, V-5, and V-7. Is there any V-8?
Yes, that's a very fine type of gasoline engine.
Well, this plan for getting officers certainly seems to look pretty far into the future.
Machinery for it was set up in 1938, Bing, when the Naval...
And these officers who qualify for special jobs are through the V-7 plan. They're actually Naval Reservists.
Yes, but they wear the same uniform, receive the same salary and allowances, and are entitled to the same benefits as an officer in the regular Navy.
Any special kind of specialist needed now, sir?
Yes, engineers primarily, electrical, mechanical, radio, aeronautical, and diesel. Men who have majored for or have had experience in ultra-high-frequency radio are specially desired.
Well, who does the fellow see?
He's to go to the Office of the Naval Officer Procurement. In Los Angeles, our office is located at the Naval Reserve Armory in Chavez Ravine.
Well, I certainly hope you get a rush on the ravine. And thank you very much, Admiral Johnson.
And I want to thank you, Bing, for all you've done for Navy Relief.
Well, it was certainly a pleasure. Thank you again, Admiral Johnson. It was a great pleasure having you here. And I know we're all going to do what soldiers, sailors, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen are already doing. We're going to buy war bonds regularly to clip the nip. Make a note of that word regularly, because that's what'll get it, that steady drive. Your boss will handle the details for you. The Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard will handle the equipment. All you got to do is pop with that scratch. And when you hear what some men and women are giving, boy, giving money isn't much.
Beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick-tick-tock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip-drip-drip of the raindrop when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating you, night and day. The one, only you beneath the moon and under the sun, whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you, night and day. That this longing for you follows wherever I go. In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an old song. A hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and a day.
Don, that is really digging, digga, digga, do. Could you now slip into an introduction from Mission?
I miss you since you went away, dear. Miss you more than I can say, dear. Daytime, nighttime, nothing I do can make me forget that I still love you. I kiss you. In my dreams I kiss you, whispering, darling, how I miss you. Tell me, do you ever miss me? As I
well, that brings us right around to where you came in, friend. Yeah. But there's going to be some more songs and funny sayings in the Old Craft Music Hall next Thursday evening, same time as things got started tonight. When over and above our regular group, we're expecting Ruth Hussey and Frank McHugh of the cinema and David Freeman, national badminton champion. That's Ruth Hussey, Dave Freeman, and Frank McHugh. Next Thursday in the Old Craft Music Hall. Meantime, May 23rd is Poppy Day. You ought to wear a poppy to honor the heroes of 41 and 42, as well as those of 1917 and 18. And buy war bonds and stamps regularly, week after week, so that the victory over the forces of barbarism and savagery, the victory for which those heroes fought, can be quickly and decisively won. I'm beginning to hear some good news, and keep it good by buying more war bonds. Good night.
When the blues of the night meets the goal.
The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.